Amen, my brother.
Amen. Don't feel embarrassed. They say after 40, three things go. One is your memory, and I forgot the other two. Okay, but happy Mother's Day, one and all. Praise the Lord. Today we want to look at a modern look at Mother's Day found in the Old Testament. A modern look at Mother's Day found in the Old Testament. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you this day. And this is a day that the world has set aside to celebrate mothers. And Heavenly Father, this day could not be possible if in your wisdom you did not create mothers. You created male and female. You created the female with the ability to bear children and institute biological motherhood, but then you gave them unique abilities so that they could nurture and take care of the home. And so, Heavenly Father, when we celebrate them, we're really celebrating you, for it emanates from the very mind of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, when we say Mother's Day, it conjures up a warm feeling. For many, we perhaps have an image of the old American painter Norman Rockwell, right? Where life is simple, everyone lives happily ever after, and in your family is filled with fun and picnics. Everyone dresses up on Sunday and walks to the white frame church house on the corner. However, Mother's Day in our culture today is somewhat different than Norman Rockwell's world. God's plan for the home has never changed. His ideal is still one man for one woman for life. Divorce should never be an option for two believers who have been joined together as one. And the Bible is plain when it comes to the teaching of the home. It doesn't teach about safe sex. It teaches about no sex until you're married. God's ideal is for the father and mother to provide for the home and to nurture their children. But now society today, there's a breakdown of that. And although our family still consists of fathers and mothers, there's a change. And what I want us to do today is look at motherhood from a different perspective. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis Chapter 21. I did not grow up watching MTV or BET, nor many of the sitcoms that the children see today. In many of them, they make light of the home, and parents are a joke. I grew up watching Make Room for Daddy, Father Knows Best, and Daddy and Mommy were not perfect, but they nurtured their home along biblical themes. Now, in some homes, there's no longer room for daddy. And so, we want to look at real heroes. We want to understand that there are single mothers. And in many ways, Mother's Day is also difficult for a lot of people. We have a lot of mothers that are role models, right? The Proverbs 31 woman, there's Naomi, there's Hannah, there's a Shunammite woman, Ruth, even the Virgin Mary. But this Mother's Day, I want you to look at a mother named Hagar. Hagar teaches us a lot about overcoming, especially as it deals with motherhood. We want to look at her plight, we want to look at her insight, and we want to look at her might. If you don't understand who she is, she was a mother, she got pregnant through no fault of her own by someone who should have known better, Abraham. She was hardworking, but she lost her job, she had no friends, and her family was a long way off. But in all of that, God lets us know that he came to her side and to her rescue. And so her story tells us how we can overcome. And she speaks to us of many of the modern mothers today that may have gone through what she's going through. So let's look at Genesis 21. We want to look at verses 14 through 16. We're going to read some more, but we want to take them as they come. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and putting it on her shoulder, her being Hagar, he gave it and the boy is Ishmael, her son, his son, to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. In verse 14, imagine that. The father sends the mother and son away. But he didn't just send her away. There's one thing to cast someone away. If there was problems in the house, Abraham was rich enough and powerful enough to perhaps set her up in another area in a cottage with people to take care of her. Was he not? But he didn't cast her away, he kicked her to the curb. She was a victim. Her fate was not her fault. It was a result of Abraham's own impatience. It was his result of his refusal to believe God in the first place. And so in verse 15, and the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. Do you see her hurting? Do you see this mother hurting? The Bible says that she no longer had anyone to help her. The Bible says she wandered in the wilderness. She no longer had real direction. She did not know where she was going, nor what she was going to do. Her purpose in life had been lost, and many times this is the plight of mothers today. Do you see Hagar hurting? She had been sent away, rejected, and now she's on her own. We not only see her hurting, but we also see her hungry, verse 15. And the water in the skin was used up. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. It was bad enough to be hurting, but now her supplies had run out. She's hungry. Her resources have run dry. The emotional strain is complicated by physical pain. She finds herself like many modern mothers. Perhaps you're like that, joining on Zoom or watching on YouTube. She is hurting without protection and hungry without provision. Next, we see her hopelessness. She went She sat down and lifted her voice and wept. Genesis 21:16 says she put the boy under a tree, went off a distance from him so that he could not see her. Does anyone identify with that today? Is there anyone who's gone in the privacy of a bedroom and shut the door and just sat down and sobbed? God had allowed Hagar and her son to come to a point where they no longer could endure in their own strength. Now that's the plight of many mothers and fathers. Many today are hurting. They too know what it is to be sent away and be abandoned and to find themselves wandering without any direction. And many times we don't talk about that. Many are hungry, their resources are gone. Children have needs that no longer can be met. And for many, it's not so much physical, perhaps it's social, perhaps it's emotional, or even spiritual. Many see themselves as hopeless. Many are at the end of the rope, even on Mother's Day. And the only thing left to do is sit down and cry. Well, if this is your plight, don't give up. Let's continue on with her story to see what happens next. Verse 17. And God, and God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad right where he is. Arise! Lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." You know, many times it's only when we're low that we can get God's insight as to what he's going to do. In these verses, we now see an expectation as she sat and wept. The angel of God came to her and says, "Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." The insight to any problem is knowing that God hears me right where I am. These words were like a crack in the door. They were a ray of light at the end of the tunnel for her. Who was this angel of the Lord? Well, this was a Christophany. This was a visit of the pre-incarnate Christ to this mother. Why? Because he speaks with the authority of God. He says, "Fear not, for God has heard." But then in verse 18, he says, "For I will make him a great nation." See, the angel of the Lord is the very Christ himself who speaks with the authority of God. We often see that he has a way of showing up when hope is almost gone in so many people's lives, right? Sometimes he shows up in a fiery furnace and he just walks with you. Other times, he's with you in the lion's den and he shuts their mouth. But he shows up when all hope appears to be gone, when we're on our last provision, and when we're down and out. And he says, "I've heard the voice of Ishmael." One of the things that tugs at the heart of God are the voices of children. And Jesus lets us know that when he comes on earth and says, "Suffer little children to come unto me." Isn't it beautiful to see the children here singing. It's beautiful. He hears their voice. Don't worry that they may not know all the songs they're singing. But let's keep them. So when they get older, they are molded in such a way that the Holy Spirit can convict them in soil that's already fertile for the word to be planted. What mother or child does not want to hear these words, "Fear not, for God has heard you"? Not only does he give her insight, look at her encouragement. The Lord told her, "Get up, lift up, and hold the boy in your hand, for I will make him a great nation." How many moms are fighting today to lift up their kids? How many grandmothers are fighting to lift up their grandchildren? There's so much around us in our culture that strips away, that wants to bring them down. And so many children, many times, feel worthless. They have no mom or dad to lift them up. Sometimes all they hear around the house is what they will not amount to. And some of them have heard it so many times, they begin to believe it. One of the most important things a parent can do is lift up their children. Do you see her encouragement? She's putting her arm around the boy. No, don't go far away. Go over there and lift him up, because I'm going to make him a great nation. One of the major points in child raising, for those of you with young families, is not a day should go by when in some way or the other, mom or dad doesn't say to them, "I'm proud to be your dad. I'm proud to be your mom." You have to let them know that they can do anything if they would believe and trust in the Lord. Okay? Most children are going to believe what you tell them. And so we see the encouragement in this mother way back in the Old Testament. You see how beautiful the Word of God is? The Word of God says the Old Testament is an example, what? For us to look at today to understand the mind of God. She's lifting up her son. It's also an act of faith. Are you going to do what God tells you to do, even though your situation has not changed? Nothing has changed. God simply has told her, "Lift him up, and I will make him a great nation." But are you going to go and lift him up? She lifted him up and held him by the hand. That is, she walked with him. She showed him the way. She led by example. And if you look at the most productive lives, children that excel, you'll usually find a mom or dad or both who took them by the hand and walked with them. What an example Hagar is to all of us today. She's calling. She's weeping. God hears her prayers. He hears the voice of her lad. We see her encouragement. In the midst of a difficult situation, she lifts him up. Well, remember I said it's faith? Here's why it's faith. Verse 19. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Don't miss that. In Genesis 29, 21, verse 19, we see her provision. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. God became her provider. Abraham had given her a wineskin filled with water, but God gave her a well. Do you see her provision, saints? Here was a woman who was agonizing, no more resources left, and all the while a well is nearby. A well is very important in the desert. Hagar's condition expresses the spiritual state and condition of many people. They're hurting, they're hungry, they're feeling hopeless. Many are wandering without knowledge, without knowing that there's a well of eternal life nearby. Think about this for a moment. The well had been there all the time, but she simply did not see it. It didn't say God dug the well. He says, he opened her eyes to see the well. It was overlooked until God pointed it out. How many times when hope seems almost gone has God shown us a well? Who here can testify that they were in a situation, there was no way out, and God said, here's a well? I know somebody here went through that, right, Sister Agar? He showed you a well. He showed me a well. But it was not enough that the well was so close in proximity. You see, God had to open her eyes. It's not enough that you sit down in church and hear a sermon. God has to open your eyes. That is why it's so important to study the Word of God, to search the Scriptures, to pull out the nuggets that are there that you didn't see the first time. To read about those people that the preacher may not preach about, but God has something about them for you. Not so much about gifted teaching or gifted preaching. It's all about you getting into the Word one-on-one with God and the Holy Spirit so that He opens your eyes to see a well. Oh, that God would open the eyes of His people and all people. Remember the Samaritan woman? She was at a well. And then the Savior showed up, and He said, you know, if you understood who you were talking to, you would ask me for water. Because I'm going to give you something that never runs dry. And it's going to spring up in you a well of everlasting water. You see how what's concealed in the old is revealed in the new? There's a well. There's supernatural help. There are moms here that can testify to the supernatural help they receive because God showed them a well. But in showing her a well, she had to do three things. She had to draw the water. She had to drink it herself. She had to pass the cup to the lad. So God shows us the well, but then He says, go drink. You see, when we're saved, He gives us all the resources, but He says, now go use it. Go use it. And what you do is you don't pick up the empty wineskin and say, gee, I wish I had water. You go to the well. And you use it. And I love the promise in verse 20. So God was with the lad and he grew. He grew. She held on to God's promise that he would make him a great nation, and God delights in coming to the rescue of those who've been cast out. This thread is woven throughout Scripture. There was a man in Jericho by the name of Bartimaeus who had been cast out to the side of the road, but Christ came to him. There was a woman in Jerusalem about to be stoned and cast out to society, but the Lord Jesus came to her rescue. Hagar had help in raising her son. It was supernatural help. God was with her. If you're a child and you're being raised by a single parent, don't be jealous of those who have both parents. See, God has a way of giving an advantage to you. For often it is the child who has known struggle and sacrifice and suffering, the child who sat under a tree somewhere and wept, the one who has known discipline and hard work, who's better prepared for life many times than others who have known little sacrifice and had both mommy and daddy there. See, God was with the lad and he grew. That's the might of all believers, knowing that Christ Jesus is on your side. And we also see her persistence in verse 21. God gave her the strength to go on, and she had a lasting influence upon her boy. Until it was time for him to be married, she stood with him, and then she released him to a wife. You know, a single mom in touch with God can overcome every obstacle in her path. Not only that, she instilled love, respect, and forgiveness in her boy. You know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is saying to someone, "I will remember it no more." You know, sometimes someone may do you wrong and they come for forgiveness and you bring up a whole list of other items you had forgiven them for. But when God forgives, you know what he says? "Your sins I will remember no more." You see, forgiveness deals with just that one incident, because all the others you chose not to remember anymore. How do I know about forgiveness? There's an interesting comment made in Genesis 25, verse 9, but it's very important. Genesis 25, verse 9. I want you to look at that carefully. "And his sons," speaking of Abraham, "Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite." Notice this. Ishmael was cast out. Ishmael was kicked to the curb with the mother, but she never instilled hate in Ishmael for his father. She never did that. Why? Because when he died, both of them there, the son of promise and the son of the bondwoman, buried Abraham. What a wonderful example of true forgiveness. What a wonderful example of guarding the heart of your child. Listen to me. No matter what you and your spouse may be going through, don't bring the children into it. Don't bring them into it. Don't turn them into detectives for you. Okay? No. What's going on is between you and your spouse. Your job is to guard their heart. For them to understand that mommy and daddy's going through a rough patch, but I'm always reminded that God will provide. And many times we forget that. And you know what happens? When you bring them in, you may do damage that can never, ever be erased. I hope you see her in a different light today. Not just as the one who had Ishmael and all of this, but see her as an individual that regardless of who she was, God loved her too. And Ishmael went back to show respect. Why? Because of his mother's persistence. God opened her eyes and showed her a well. On Mother's Day, our responsibility is to build a family unit. Thank God for the home. A godly home is the hope of every nation. But we have to be bold and frank in teaching our children that God's plan is for one man, for one woman, for life. That there's no such thing, as I said earlier, as safe sex. There should not be any sex outside the marriage bond. But let's also remember that many are hurting. Let's join and encourage folks together. Yes, we have to bring strong walls so people don't go over the cliff of divorce, the cliff of a broken home. But we also need the ambulance filled with gasoline at the bottom to mend those that are broken. Perhaps you're not a single mother, but perhaps you've never known rejection. Perhaps you're not even a mother. But sometimes we wander through life without direction. There's no purpose. There's no peace. Follow her example. Call upon God today. Let Jesus Christ come into your life. Let him open your eyes and show you a well. A well that you can drink from and never thirst again. And he will go home with you. That well that she saw is Christ. He's the source of living water. He died on the cross so that through faith in him, you can have an eternal well of living water springing in your heart. That well will refresh you. Grandmother, mother, father, you going through something? Go to the well. Go to the well. Because when you go to the well, you will hear, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you draw from that well, you will be refreshed no matter what your situation is. In closing, I want to look at John chapter 10 very quickly as I close. John chapter 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's why Jesus came, that you may have life. What type of life? Eternal life. Not only life everlasting, living forever, but eternal life, the presence of God in every situation. So saints, happy Mother's Day. And perhaps we've learned something new from this mother of old that can be applied in our modern times. And if you're a mother here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, or perhaps you do know him, glean from what we just read what God would have you take so that your Mother's Day, you can see that well which offers eternal life. refreshing. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for your word. It is so profound, so deep, yet so simple. The very words on these pages are words of life. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the living Word, who cloaked his deity with humanity to come to reveal all that the Father is and should mean to us. And Heavenly Father, your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you have it accomplished. And so, Father, enable your word to go out, to bring comfort to those who might be hurting, to bring provision to those who might be hungry, and to bring hope to those who might be feeling hopeless. For it is in the name of our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we petition you today. Amen. May the Lord bless you for his name's sake.